As a kid, I was influenced to play t-ball and then baseball. And there are a lot of things that I found out in life that I was pretty good at, and one or two things that I found that I was great at. But baseball was neither of those. It's actually something that I'm quite horrible at. But I don't regret my time being on, you know, a youth league baseball team, because it taught me something very important. I hate teams. I hate it. I hate team sports. I hate team competition, because there's normally somebody on the team that has a God-given ability or the passion to work really hard to be good at something that you don't care a ton about. And I hated letting that person down. I hated the feeling of striking out and having that person give me shit. We're a youth league team. What's it matter? It doesn't matter to me. Okay, so I didn't catch the pop fly. Sorry, I overthrew to second base. You know, they always put the shit kids in center field, which is where you would find me. But I was so bad at it. And the more that I was around the team, the less that I cared to be good at it. There was never anything in me that said, fight to get better at this. I just hated the team. I was dealing with enough stuff in my life that I didn't need these people. Like, you know, I'll take shit from my parents. I'll take shit from my teachers. I'll take shit from my past because I have to. I don't have any other choice. But I can decide not to take shit from another 10-year-old or another 12-year-old, however old we were. I didn't enjoy the experience. But when I found skateboarding, I found something that would influence me forever. The fight against me. How good can I be at this? How good can I be at something that I care about? So first you learn how to ollie, which is a maneuver where you hit your tail, you move your front foot forward, and it brings up the skateboard in you a certain distance off the ground. Well, once you learn how to ollie, can I learn how to ollie over one skateboard or up one stair? Can I get up two stairs or over two skateboards? And there's no team to let down. It's just you, your skateboard, and your ability, and your track record of the day before. So each day I could see that I was getting better, which made me happy. But it didn't bother me how much better I was than other kids in the neighborhood, or how much better they were than me, because we weren't part of a team. But there was a team aspect to skateboarding. That if you were different, if you were weird, if you were in this, then you kind of belong to everyone else. And the highest point of this in my world was something called the Bones Brigade, which was put together by Stacy Peralta, part of Pal Peralta Skateboards. The Bones Brigade, looking at it as an adult, was an entirely sophisticated way to market to young boys all around the world. And what Stacy Peralta was able to do, he was able to put together a team of skateboarders. Each very good at their own thing. For example, Tommy Guerrero was a master of street style from San Francisco, had that vibe. I believe he went on to become a musician. But then different to him was Rodney Mullen, who was a freestyle skater, who would end up inventing most tricks done by street skaters all around the globe. But he was kind of, at this point in his life, kind of nerdy, too smart for his own good, and was like the clean-cut guy. But then you had Tony Hawk, who I'm sure you've heard of, who was innovative, did these big aerial tricks from pools and half pipes and whatever course that you could put him on, he could master any terrain and do it with his different sort of style because he was too tall, very lanky, and just literally did kind of look like a weird bird when he would go through the sky. But each one of these guys did something very different. And I'm sorry that I'm leaving out Steve Caballero and Mike McGill, but Lance Mountain, who was the comic relief, the guy that I could relate to the most. But when this team of guys came together, they formed the Bones Brigade, which was the type of team that I wanted to belong to, because it was a team that was about the brotherhood of skateboarding. And sorry, I know today's episode is very male oriented, but I am talking about a 12-year-old boy trying to figure out his identity in this world and how he fits in with other men. So forgive me for that today. But looking at these guys and how they were together in the video series that would come out, The Bones Brigade Show, Public Domain, Ban This, Future Primitive, The Search for Animal Chin. These videos showed these guys hanging out, going on adventures together, discovering the world together. These videos showed fashion that the guys would wear. We would mimic everything that they would have on their bodies afterwards. It was always cut to music that we wanted to know more about. If you knew the hours that I spent listening to music dubbed from a VHS cassette, which means I would listen to music where you could actually hear skateboarding over the top of the music. That's just how I learned how to listen to some songs. In fact, it seems weird if I don't hear wheels going up a bank, the sound of an ollie, and then in the distance hearing somebody go, yeah, when I listen to that part of that song. But there was also jokes. The guys hanging out, having fun, making each other laugh. This wasn't a team sport where there was a score, where you have to try to get X amount of points on the board to win. The winning was the experience. The winning was being together. I would try to recreate the Bones Brigade several times in my life. When I worked at a record label, I always tried to see my band and the other bands on the label as a Bones Brigade. And with me and the guy that owned the label, we tried hard to get a different band of every genre and to have these bands hang out and to create a culture, a lifestyle, which we did in our catalogs that we sent out to our customers. When I formed my design business with my wife, I wanted to figure out how each of us could have a different personality and a different voice in design. But me, Beth, Ryan, could we grow the studio in a way where we are each known for doing something that was masterful and specific? And then when I found my way into podcasting, it would take me a couple years to get there, but I would find a way to turn my relationships with people into content. Is there a way that this guy or this woman fills the gap on a certain personality, a certain expertise that we're not offering our community? And could all of these people know each other? Could there be a sense of humor between the shows? Could there be ongoing jokes? Could we create a culture, a language, a little microcosm of society that felt like friends? So that no matter how far away you live from us, you could listen to us daily and feel like you are hanging out in the shop with your buds, going over jokes, listening to problems, working together to try to figure out creative solutions and workarounds. But at the end, the brotherhood, and I mean that non-gender specific, would bring everybody back the next day. It didn't matter how big the guest was. It didn't matter how hard you failed, what you shared. It was that you shared it and we shared it together and we learned together and we would come back the next day. I think creating patterns in your life off of what inspired you the most is the best way to know what you're supposed to do next. As we're going through Wake Up Call Season 2, where I'm looking back at these crucial years, you're realizing, hopefully with me, that so many of the things I've created all come from this age of being lost, feeling abandoned, feeling out on your own, and figuring out how to feel like you belong to people. And that's what I have tried to do with my podcasting. I've tried to make you feel like you belong and that we're doing this together. My wake-up call is how much I hate team sports, but how much I love being a part of this team. I'll see you back here tomorrow when we do it all over again. But if you would like to support the AID team, head over to our website, AID.network. Go to our store and you can purchase our brand new enamel pen, the AID Network pen with the Freedom Eagle, listening to the headphones on it. To me, that logo, that message, that symbolizes what we are doing together. It symbolizes the freedom that this platform has given me to create this with you.